A few years ago, Time magazine took a poll of American ministers and asked them if they believed in the resurrection. And a big percent said no. And they said, the next question was, well, do you preach the resurrection? And they said, yes. And they said, well, why? And the answer was, it's my job. I'm paid to preach the resurrection. I read that. I thought that was kind of funny. In grappling with this text, I am forced to ask myself, do I believe in the resurrection? And if so, in what way? Is there a difference between believing, which is a function of the mind, and having faith, which is a function of the heart and the intuition? The resurrection is one of those profound and great mysteries. I believe that something happened, something very, very important happened. I believe there is truth in the resurrection stories. And I believe the truth of the resurrection is greater than any physical miracle could possibly be. The story of the resurrection, which we read today, comes from the Gospel according to John. Now, the Gospel according to John differs from the other Gospels and is considered to be the least accurate historically. John is not trying to tell us the facts. John is trying to tell us the truth. So what does he tell us? He tells us of God's presence on this earth. He tells us of supernatural phenomenon. He tells us of lives changed through contact with the Christ. He tells us of death and rebirth. In short, he tells us our story. In this passage, we have a woman, Mary Magdalene, who is a follower of Jesus. Her life was transformed through her contact with him. Then she sat at his feet and listened when he spoke. And she was with him in Jerusalem when he was arrested and tortured. She saw the faces of the crowd filled with hatred for the man that she loved. Horrifying, inhuman faces bent on violence and destruction. And she waited with him again at his feet through the long agonizing death. And she watched him die. And with him died all her dreams, all her hopes. This was the man to whom she had dedicated her life. And he was gone. There was nothing left. She gets up before sunrise and goes to the tomb where the body was laid, and she arrives and finds that the tomb has been opened. And after summoning help and weeping a great deal, she finally finds the courage to look into the tomb, to look into the darkness, into the emptiness, to look into the face of death. But instead of darkness, she sees light. Instead of emptiness, she finds the tomb filled with the presence of angels. Instead of death, she finds eternal life. She, like Jesus, goes through a death and rebirth experience. She has lost all that she holds most precious. Yet somehow, in the moment of deepest despair, she experiences a miraculous transformation, a rebirth of joy and hope. That is one of the profound mysteries of life. Somehow, in the darkest moments, God's presence is sometimes made known to us, and our lives are transformed. I think of a woman that I knew in a church that I used to attend. She was one of those women that was just always radiant. Her eyes just shined with this inner light. I talked to her, and she told me that after a long and happy marriage, her husband had died. And in the pain and grief of that loss, she experienced God's presence in a way she never had before. Her husband's death was transformed into new life for her, one filled with love for God. How this could be, I do not know. It is one of those divine mysteries. When Mary looks into the tomb, she sees angels. Angels. I don't know about you, but I used to believe that angels were kind of like Tinkerbell, you know? A really pretty fantasy, a kind of a fairy tale. But you know, through the years, I have spoken to a number of people who have actually seen angels. Several years ago, I met a nurse who works in the intensive care burn unit of a hospital, and she said that a number of her patients speak of an angel being in the room while they are recovering. They will point to the place in the room where the angel is. And she told me that the ones that don't recover often speak of angels in the plural. There's more than one there waiting with them to make the transition. So what are we to make of this? Do I believe in angels? I believe in angels. I believe that people see them and are helped. What exactly they are seeing? I don't know. That's one of those divine mysteries that goes way beyond anything that science can teach us. In our story, it says that Mary sees two angels, and then the most fantastic thing happens. Jesus actually appears. Now, the bizarre thing is that Mary doesn't recognize him. Well, why not? Are her eyes too full of tears? Is she afraid to look at this strange man? Or is the writer trying to tell us something else? Is the writer trying to say that Christ comes to us in many different forms? Is he trying to say that we meet Christ in other people? Is her failure to recognize Jesus a metaphor for how we often live our lives in blindness, unaware of the divine mystery that is around us all the time? Believing that everyone we meet is just an ordinary person. But what is an ordinary person? What is a human being? She thought he was just the gardener, when he was, in fact, the Christ. How often do we look at each other and in our blindness think we're just seeing ordinary people and fail to recognize that in each and every one of us, at the essence of our being, is the living Christ. Every one of us is a divine creation. So did Mary see angels and Jesus? I believe she did. I have spoken with enough people and read enough accounts of people who have seen Jesus or the Virgin Mary or angels or some other saints. So I know it's possible. So what are we to make of this story of death and resurrection? I don't know, but I do know that in times of death, in times of loss, isolation, pain, somehow God touches us. And somehow we discover a strength or a love or a new perspective that we never knew before. After death of any sort, there is rebirth, transformation, resurrection. Easter is happening in countless lives every day. And that, to me, is the truly great miracle of life, the great truth on which my faith rests. I know that in the deepest recesses of our hearts, there is a core of love that is mysterious, eternal, and cannot be killed. Some of us call that the Holy Spirit. Some of us call that our higher power. And some of us call that the living Christ. The mystery of this universe is larger than any human mind can conceive. And I live in awe of that mystery. And I have faith in my experience of a loving God who reaches in and transforms lives. I have faith in a risen Christ because my heart tells me that Christ is alive and is with us. Amen.